Crossroads, East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
I am delighted to be joined in the studio for a change. I have spoken to this woman so many times over the phone, but today we meet in person by Angela Schaefer from Money Made Sense with the Northside Partnership. Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Good morning, Donnie. Great to be here in person with you this morning.
It is lovely to finally make your acquaintance properly, as they say. And it's like a bus. You get nobody into the studio for ages, and then two of them come along together because... Joining Angela in the studio with me this morning is Ellen Nevia Khan. Did I get that right, Ellen? Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And Ellen is a participant in the Money Made Sense program. So, first of all, both of you are very, very welcome to the studio this morning. Thank you very much,
Thank you, both of you, for coming in.
I suppose, Angela, the best thing to do, and I know every time we talk I ask you the same question, but what is Money Made Sense?
What Money Made Sense is, in essence, is a financial capability programme, and I don't want your listeners to be put off by that word. What that means is we recognise that all people have money management skills because everyone has to interact with money. That's just a fact of life. What this is about looking at your current picture, looking at your situation, and see how we can build on those skills so you can make more efficient use of your resources. The money, taking a look at the money coming in, the money going out, and seeing how changes can be made, whether it's day-to-day spending habits, putting a budget in place, looking at your utility costs, looking at your outgoings, seeing if we can shop around for better insurances, being aware of your entitlements and your tax credits and making sure that you're claiming those. And it's just about keeping on top of those expenses so the little problems don't escalate into larger ones down the road. And like I say, it's building on the knowledge that people already have, because I find with our programmes that it's all very peer support, and peer encouragement is a big part of it, because people will often share their experiences of you know, using different suppliers, different their consumer choices, talking about, you know, experiences of being scammed online and things like that. So it's a very much a peer learning experience as well.
Yeah, and of course that getting scammed online, that's continuously evolving and is happening every day of the week. Now, Ellen, I should have prefaced my introduction, of course, to you by saying that you are with Loris Bui, just across the car park from us here, and you made a long, arduous journey
in.
I suppose two questions for you, really, Ellen. Okay, three. How did you hear about it? How did you go about availing of it? And then, I suppose, the really important one is, talk me through the differences it has made.
Okay. Well, I work for Doris Bui. So Ms. Odell O'Connor, the program's team manager, was approached by Angela and MABS that they were running this. It was like in the pilot stage where they were beginning to get it together. And it was just, I think it was after the heavy part of COVID, but we were still kind of working from home part-time and stuff. So it was going to be conducted online. So basically they were contacting people who are interested, and also they wanted to have a bit of a mixed collective of the group that was going to be online. So the Money Made Sense, it took the complication of money and explained it in ways to us where we could understand it. Because, you know, we were like money management and all that. We were, even I was like, what is this going to entail? And at the people that were at the time running the actual initial, we were one of the first to actually enroll for it, was Angela and Amy. And they were very supportive through the whole course. It was basically a group online session where we could all communicate with each other, because we had breakout rooms and that in the group. And this was very beneficial to us all, because we learned that at some time we had all found ourselves in good and bad money spending. whether we were employed or unemployed, we were all included and we could relate to each other. The basis was you needed to spend less than you make, particularly using credit cards and taking out loans, and the difficulties of overdoing it can build up to so much credit and car debt, which we went into that and people explained if they got into that, which we all fell into that trap at some stage. Then we set ourselves a budget, which was useful information and techniques for making a budget, so you were more conscious of your incoming and outgoing money spending. And Amy also went through comparing utility bills, internet and mobile uses, and getting the best rates for our incoming bills by switching or negotiating better terms on our internet and mobile contracts with our current companies. And what I found very good was the conscious purchasing, which I've done all the ones before, and I'm you know, they were something that I was always thinking about. But conscious purchasing was something I found very interesting, and for me, I'm using it to this day. Be more aware when shopping, making a list before going shopping and sticking to it to ensure you buy what you need, and to save on purchasing unnecessary items. To this day, since I started initiating that, now before when I had the children were young, I'd make a list of what I need. But this is actually making a list of what you just want. And once you get everything on your list, you might say, well, I'll buy myself a little treat for when I get home. But the thing about it was, I found over that year, I am saving. I've cut down the bill like 20, 25 for each shop, because I don't buy, specials, I have to have I just stick to the list saved me.
There's another great tip, and I remember hearing it years and years ago. Never go shopping when you're hungry.
Yes, that was another one that was brought up. And then ask yourself when purchasing items if you need it, can you afford it now? By asking yourself before you, is giving yourself that second thought from that impulse spending. You know, when you say, I've got to have it. And then if you stop yourself and say, do I need it? Do I really want it? Is it something that I need right now, or can I wait? And asking yourself that is like taking that bit of that, you know, the impulse you get when you see something you want, but you don't really need it, but you say, I've got to have it. And buying online. When you go through your online shopping, check your basket and go through your basket. Then when you've got the online and you're ready to purchase, instead of going click and go and continue, look at the basket and have a second look. Because sometimes when you're shopping, you're buying stuff that you say, that looks good. But if you go away, leave your basket and come back to on your online shopping. I found that I've started doing that, and now I can delete like at least two items out of the basket by the time I finish shopping. So it was all to do with the consciousness of, for me, conscious shopping, which in my case helped me, plus negotiating my gas, my electric and my mobile. I also saved money there. And then I learned so much from the group of people that I was on the online course with, because I was very relatable to us all, whether we were lone parents on a single payment, whether we were fully employed, part-time employed. We all had that same comradeship of, yeah, that happened to me too, and also of being aware of scams and stuff like that that's out there, and like if it's too good to be true, then sometimes it really is.
And that is a good rule of thumb. If it's too good to be true, it's not true. Angela, we have heard, I presume you have as well, because you're the expert in this field, but I have heard it over the years that Irish people, and I think particularly Irish people, that one of our great traits is loyalty. But while it's one of our great traits, it may also be a sort of one of our great undoings. And it's just something that Ellen referred to there. If people are availing of a particular service, and in doing so are using a particular provider, and be it car insurance, electricity, mobile phones, whatever, there seems to be, I know people are saying that it's a loyalty. Is it a loyalty or is it just laziness? But they seem to be very reluctant to switch providers.
I suppose it's a combination of different factors, loyalty, the fact that it's hard work as well to be, you're reviewing your direct debits kind of year on year, And I think there is a certain cultural aspect to it, and Mabs would definitely agree with what you're saying there, Donny, in terms of people's supposed, I guess, assumptions that if they're staying with the same supplier year on year, that they'll somehow be rewarded for that, and that they're not likely to, you know, be paying high premiums, when in fact, the opposite is pretty often the case, because whether it's health insurance, home insurance, car insurance, you know, premiums will go up year on year. And, you know, it's not, we're not suggesting to people that they have to switch, but negotiations can be made. You know, we, when I was growing up, there was very few choices in terms of utility suppliers. You had the old ESB, you know, the semi-states, you had Aircom, you know, and then obviously in the last 20 years or so, we've had disruptors, so many disruptors to the market now, and where we
and,
have...
And Angela is showing her age there when she mentions Aircom, because I can go back to when it was the P&T and that was it, that's all you had, and they supplied...
Telecom, Aaron. I remember Telecom, Aaron. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I'm going back to the P&T.
Right.
So that's...
Post and Telegraphs.
Yep.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, okay, I fully appreciate your point, and I do take it on board, honestly, I do. But when I listen to you, and I listen to Ellen, and a topic I'm actually chasing for next week is people's disposable income over the last 6 months has been dramatically reduced. I mean, the reality of what both of you are telling me and the listeners this morning is that the vast majority of us are spending our money where we needn't be spending it, that it could be staying in our pocket if we just, if you'll pardon my French, got off our arse and put a bit of effort into going through your providers, comparing prices. You could be very surprised at the end of the year. Okay, you'll say, that's only 2 or 3 quid a month and that. But all those 2 and 3 quids add up. And like Ellen's point, buy what you need, not what you want when you go to the shops. All of a sudden, like, that could be 10 or 20 euro because you see how much a basket of shopping has gone up. Okay, in the general scheme of things, over a week or over a month, well, a month is going to look bigger. Multiply that by 12 and it's going to be a right ball of money.
Now, I found with my providers, when I started to do the investigating prices, I like about gas. I'm old school too, so I'm Bord Electric, and I get great service from them if I need it, and Bord Gáis as well. If there's anything, I always feel like if there's a gas leak or my carbon monoxide, I'm always feel like they're real. Their numbers are more available than if you go with another carrier. But now I went paperless as well, and I saved 3%. Now it's only 3%. I get 3% off my gas bill because I'm paperless. They just send it to my email address, and I can, if I need to print, I just print it. And then they call me now, and I'm like, well, so, well, then we'll see, I'll call you back. So it's not so much that I changed my provider on phone, but I found with Bord Gáis, they were negotiating, when you brought it up to them that I can go here and they're giving me this price, they would like, well, leave that with me and I'll call you back in a couple of days. And they did. And I got a little deal, and I also got a 3%. Would you like to go paperless and get 3% off your bill? And I said, yeah, sure.
It's very funny you say that, because I was listening to somebody the other day, and I cannot remember who it was. I have a feeling it was either his television channel provider or his internet provider. I cannot remember who it was. But he looked at the subscriptions and went, this is off the scale. To hell with this. And rang him up and wanted, in like your case, to do a deal, and they couldn't deal with him. Okay, no problem. There's plenty more providers out there in the field. I'm cancelling my subscription. All of a sudden, they were able to do a deal with him, and he got the same service at a much reduced price. So, I mean, it bears out your point. Haggle. There is room for manoeuvre, and there's always wriggle room with these companies. Angela, when it comes to the nuts and bolts of this, I mean, really and truly, I suppose what would you be encouraging people to some evening after the tea to sit down with an actual blank A4 and a pen and go through their stuff old school on a and make up a balance sheet? Is that the way you would be encouraging people to see how much their outgoings are?
And there's, you know, start of the year, people might have a bit more motivation in terms of self-auditing their finances. But in reality, you can do this any time of the year. You can, you know, you can review your incomings and outgoings. You know, it doesn't have to be January because we're feeling more resolute at this time of year. But whatever your preferred mode is, whether it's pen and paper, the first thing I would say to people, most of us get bank statements now online. And banks don't really post statements out unless you request them, and there's a charge for that. So if you do, and even in the banks now, when you go into the bank, they won't give you a bank statement like they used to, except for the last 3 months. But what I would suggest is that you go through your bank statement first of all, whatever way, whether you have you know, online banking so you can view it on your screen, or if you have to go into the bank and, you know, or phone them up and request a bank statement, like that'll give you the full picture. You know, that'll give you the ugly truth of and review all your direct debits and, you know, start crossing off, okay, what can I do with that? What could I renegotiate on? What am I paying too much on? But it will also give you, like Ellen was talking about, unconscious spending. So it will also give you a sense of what you're tapping every day if you're using, like, tap to pay for goods and purchases. You know, it will give you the complete picture of, and you're just like, and you may be looking at, I know me, like, I know you might look at your bank statement and go, oh my god, how did I spend that much in one day, you know? So it really, it's the best place to start in terms of you know, auditing, giving you the big picture.
When it comes to that, Angela, I would think that if at the end of the day, or as they were going through their day, if people were to keep a written log of everything they spent, I mean everything, and just do it for 1 week, I think at the end of the week they'd be shocked.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that they would be shocked by what they're spending. Sorry, you want to come in on that there,
just
Ellen?
On the actual, the Money Made Sense, you actually get sent sheets and you do that for 2 weeks. And that's how the conscious purchasing makes you. They don't tell you. They explain conscious purchasing, but they don't tell you you're doing it or who's doing it. They give you the sheets and you actually write down what you're spending for the next 2 weeks. And that's when the revelation comes to you that you were, just because you felt like a coffee, and did you even enjoy that coffee? And then you did it twice. And what was the point in that? You could have just waited till you got home. You're only 10 minutes away. But the thing about the two-week sheet showed you how much silly purchases you made, that you didn't really need them, was unnecessary, to be tapping your card for two something. You know what I'm saying? All those little things you don't even register that you've spent. So after 2 weeks, you get a good realization that you are just... you need to be more conscious of your spending. And that was a great exercise, which I carry through to me to this day. And I do save a lot. And I'm more, I stop and think, do I want to? I don't dive in as quickly anymore on the online shopping. Very seldom. Christmas, maybe Easter, and maybe in a bit in the summer. And that's in the last year. And before that, I was like, oh, a bargain. And they're not bargains. They're just flash media ads.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, what most people don't realise is when you go into a shop, you're going in to do your shopping. But before you walk in that door, an absolute psychological expert has sat down with the owners of those supermarket chains and designed the way that the supermarkets are laid out. It's not by accident that they're laid out the way they're laid out. It's designed to get you to spend as much as possible when you go in the door. Girls, we are starting to run a bit tight in time. It's such a fascinating topic. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about this. But Angela, you know, for people listening this morning, and, you know, they're really, everybody sees how tight it has been in the last probably 8-9 months, and if we're to listen to the experts, God help us, the coming year isn't going to improve a whole lot. How do people get involved? And, you know, I suppose take the wonder out of it, and and the pressure and the stress of, oh my God, I'm going to have to do this, and it's like being back in school doing accountancy or whatever. Go through it with people.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a traditional classroom learning style, so don't be worried. You don't need to have a degree in accounting by any stretch of the imagination to come and do this course. What we're talking about is people's real life experiences of interactions with money and relationship with money. So, you know, it's very relatable in that sense. So we're running courses from our Kilbarrack office Monday mornings, 11:30 to 1 p.m. So it's an hour and a half session every week. Like I say, it's very.
And sorry, Angela, yeah. How many weeks is that for?
It's a 6-week program, Tony.
So 6 weeks, an hour and a half, 9 hours.
Exactly, yeah. 9 hours, it could make a big difference. It could help, you know, to put money back in your pocket.
Well, if you listen to Ellen, you know, there's your living proof of it.
Yeah.
And the thing about the program is you're in with a bunch of people that, like me, just want to know, yeah, how would I save money? So everybody is from, you know, well, in the course that we were from different incomes, high, low, medium. And we all, though, when it came to the end of the day, we all pretty much were the same person of how we were dealing with our money and consciously spending where we could be saving. And we came out with us able to be able to interact with each other. We weren't so inhibited about talking about it, whereas before it was like, I'm not talking about how I spend my money. By the end of the course, we were all talking about this is how we could benefit ourselves and how we were relatable to each other about going shopping and spending money ridiculously and just saying no to that coffee you can wait 5 minutes till you go home, put on your kettle.
How many can you fit on a course, Angela?
We can have up to 10 people on a programme. We like to keep the numbers small so people can get to know each other and be comfortable in the space. It's, like I say, it's not traditional classroom learning. I should say, Donny, we also offer free, the course obviously is free, all services at Northside Partnership are free. I should say we also offer one-to-one financial coaching for people who'd like that little bit of extra help, whether it's, you know, creating a budget or creating an online, you know, accessing their bank account online, or maybe they have a particular debt issue. We have also got a very close relationship with MABS, so if you, the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, so, you know, if you feel like you are in a difficult situation, please do reach out to us and we'll be happy to refer you on to MABS. They're absolutely wonderful in what they do.
And this, along with our other interviews, will be available by way of podcast later on. So I'm just going to ask Angela to give contact details there if you want to contact the offices. And if don't worry, if you can't grab it this time round, you can get the details on the podcast later on this afternoon. So, Angela.
So basically the best way to find out more is by contacting me directly, Angela. My number is 087-925-4095. That's 087-925-4095. Or Money Made Sense at inspartnership.ie.
Angela Schaefer and Ellen Ní Bhacáin, Guru Míle Mahagut to the two of you for coming in to me this morning.
Thanks, Donal.
I have no doubt we'll be talking again as the year progresses. It is a fantastic service. I mean fantastic, because I mean, this is your money that you are spending when you need not be spending it, in a time where people need to be holding on to every penny they can hold on to. So there it is for you. And as always, huge thanks to the fabulous Sarah Clossy in the Northside Partnership for organising these interviews for me every Monday morning. Thank you both, girls.
Thank you.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.